Practical sympathy for the afflicted. St. Helena Sanitarium, St. Helena, California. September 27, 1910. Practical sympathy for the afflicted. Work the cities. I have had a very peculiar night. There were a number of leading men in a room. I was asking the price of the rent of the house we were examining. Then I was deeply interested in presenting facts before the party assembled. There are cases that need our attention. The husband, a minister of the gospel, of no mean order, labors until health fails, and finally death comes. The mother and children are left. Then is the time for the expression of true sympathy. Let those who understand, neighbors and churches, come to the front, and not only in words, but in acts, show true sympathy. Church members have these cases to care for. When affliction comes to a family, and the one removed is a minister of the gospel, let those who understand their duty help in every way possible, with true heart expression of Christ-like sympathy, by all the simple means that can be given. I will not specify names, but I will call the attention of the people to the circumstances of those who should have the thoughtful care of those who are striving hard to provide means to live. Let thoughtful care be bestowed upon the sick and suffering ones. Not all are required to go as missionaries to foreign countries, but keep sharp lookout that you are not missing your chance of being home missionaries. There are many ways in which this home mission work can be done. Those who are wrestling with temptations and discouragements can be helped. Widows and the fatherless need attention. Men have worn out the very best part of their lives in preaching the gospel, and their labor is not always appreciated, because unselfishness is not overcome. The true heart expression of Christ-like sympathy is not given. The delicate touch of the Spirit of Christ has not been shown to the family where the father, the minister of the gospel, having worn out his life in some kind of ministry, has closed his eyes in death. Christ calls for converted action on the part of families that might exercise, through their influence, the ministry of healing wounds. Kindly words, simply spoken, attention to their necessities, will sweep away clouds of temptation and suggestions Satan stands ready to make. Let us all sweep away by kindly acts and words the sorrows that such ones experience in their disappointments. For angels of God are watching, and would have Christ-like sympathy given them. Open the door, brethren and sisters, to communicate the mysteries of the heart in Christ-like sympathy and love. We all need waking up on this point. Now affliction has come in many ways, and for years the family has had a living sorrow in the affliction of one who has been an able laborer in word and in doctrine, to impart to souls who have been in affliction. And when death has called the head of the family, let those who are church members call to remembrance the work and earnest labors of the one who sleeps in the Lord Jesus, until he is awakened from his sleep in death on the morning of the resurrection. I have been pained when I have seen so little remembrance of the earnest servants of God in saving souls from sin after the fashion of Christ's labors. Those who are left to struggle their way alone need kindly words simply spoken, little attentions simply bestowed. Christ is our example in the doing of this work in any place. He was always awake. Christ's work is to be our example. Constantly he went about doing good. He preached the gospel to the poor. His life was one unselfish service. And this is to be our lesson book. Oh, how many things we might learn by becoming acquainted with the self-denying life of Jesus Christ. So many are bringing to the foundation of their character hay, wood, and stubble, material that will not bear the test of examination. They will not reveal Christ-likeness. Christ came to our world for no other purpose than to be the pattern of character for the human family, to be their example. They are to practice his virtues in all things and stand on vantage ground before the world and before angels. To obey the law of the Lord is true greatness. The law of the Lord was made flesh and dwelt among us. We are to behold his righteousness. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the terms. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 14, 12.
By his life and death, Christ taught that only in obedience to all of God's commandments can man find safety and obtain a healthy experience. For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. God's law is the transcript of his character. I might dwell upon this subject, but I cannot present all I would gladly present. At Sinai, the law was given a second time in awful grandeur. The Lord spoke his precepts. And let all ever bear in mind that God not only spake the law, but engraved the law with his own finger upon tables of stone. Exodus 20th chapter, verses 1 to 20. I have not time or strength to dwell as I would be glad to dwell upon this subject, but I must. I am charged to give you over and over again this same message, brethren. We must have more of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Your standard must be held with a firm grasp and our souls brought under the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Let every soul do his best, stand in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, loving the truth, talking the truth, exemplifying the truth by practice. I have much more to write on this subject, but not now. I always feel so intensely over this most solemn subject. All I can say is, elevate the standard of pure sanctification through belief of the truth. Make decided efforts to bring all who claim to believe the truth to live the truth. Let the standard be raised higher and still higher. In many places, the human hand is stretched out with words to hinder, fearing that money will not come in to sustain the work. The Lord gave his only begotten Son to come to our world to meet the fallen angels, with the message of eternal life to bar the way of the fallen angels from carrying on their work of deception. Let every soul, men and women, clothe themselves with the righteousness of Christ. Let your standard be raised higher and still higher in every effort made. Close not the door to those who will evidence they are truly converted daily, for angels will help you to enter our cities. I am so deeply stirred on this point that I cannot hold my peace. Letters are coming to me for instruction regarding entering our cities. Let your standard of true piety be raised. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God's holy name. Communicate the truth, for Satan is at work with all his ingenious devices to obtain victory after victory. Can you expect the cities to come to you and invite you? You must go to them. The world is to be warned. All that I have written 10 years ago should have been strictly followed. God help us to see the light as it is in Christ Jesus and work intelligently. If you expect an easy time, you will be disappointed. Truth must be brought to the people in earnest, solemn style, lifting up the banner higher and still higher. And be sure and do not become confused.